Australian alcohol consumption at a 50-year low. That was the headline bouncing around last week, and at a glance, that is indeed what the latest figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics reveal. Over the last year, Australians 15 years and over bought enough grog to consume roughly two standard drinks per day each, the lowest level of consumption since the early 1960s, apparently. But as we're about to hear, there may be more to this story and these figures. It might surprise you to learn who is really driving down the consumption figures. And I'd like to hear from you this morning. When it comes to our drinking habits, your drinking habits, have they changed over time? I know they certainly have for me. What have you noticed between generations in your family? We're particularly interested to know. How are you and those around you consuming alcohol differently? What you drink, where you get it from, how you do it? Has your relationship to alcohol changed over time? What about the role that it's played in your life? What have you noticed? Give us a call right now, 1300 225 76. That's 1300-CALL-RN. Or you can text us 0418 226 576 or tweet us at RN Life Matters. Now, here's what people in and around Haymarket told RN's Pitt Rasmussen.
I don't drink at all. I don't drink at all. People are becoming more aware of the consequences of drinking, yeah. Like, there's no benefits in it because, like, alcohol, it kind of stuffs up your whole, like, your mentalities. You can't really train at your peak because your body's not as healthy as it possibly can be.
Yeah, I stopped drinking. I got into fitness and I can't stay fit and drink. I know amongst my friends, most of them used to be heavy drinkers and now they don't really drink anymore.
I like to drink to have fun, but not to get smashed. But yeah, people are replacing it with harder drugs, finding different ways to party.
These new figures that are showing in Australia, drinking is at a 50-year low.
I know, the beer's dropped down by such a large percentage of normal people drinking beer that I think it's a good thing for Australia. I think people are more concerned about their own health now and well-being.
Are you sure that's right?
What do you think people are doing instead of drinking now?
Smoking weed, doing other drugs.
What are your drinking habits?
I've actually stopped drinking. I've stopped clubbing as well. I'm pretty lightweight now.
Yeah, I'm probably more of a binge drinker, like weekends.
After seeing what my dad can drink and our age, I think we outdo him, his generation.
What are your drinking habits?
When I don't have work in uni, they get a bit out of hand because I work in a bar, so it gets a bit hard, but a couple of times a week.
We just hang out with friends, normally in the day. We're grandmas because we're shift workers, so we go to bed early.
It's a lot more expensive now these days, especially with, you know, having uni and a job. We don't get enough money to spend it all on alcohol. This is much more important stuff, so.
And if you were to replace drinking with something else, do you do that at all?
Probably PlayStation.
I have no idea why the drinking's going down in Australia. It could be also because less people are drinking beer now. Maybe there's just more awareness around in the media now, more drink driving ads.
Yeah, maybe people are getting more aware about, like, the risks of drinking, I guess.
It doesn't surprise me that people are drinking less beer, but it does surprise me that people are drinking less.
What are your drinking habits then?
Wine, generally.
What do you think people are doing that is reducing drinking levels in Australia?
I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe there's less binge drinking, and maybe people aren't going to pubs as much. Maybe it's small bars. I don't know. I'm surprised.
It's Pitt Rasmussen on the streets asking people about how their relationship to alcohol has changed. Alcohol consumption in Australia at a 50-year low. I wonder if that figure surprises you. Does it reflect your own drinking habits? 1300 225 76. Join us. Be part of the conversation. 1300-CALL-RN. Joining us this morning is Mike Daub. He's Professor of Health Policy at Curtin University and Director of Public Health, the Public Health Advocacy Institute, and the McCusker Centre for Action on Alcohol and Youth. He's also been Director General of Health for Western Australia. This is an issue that he cares about a lot. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us in the Perth studios. Before we get to the latest picture, how have our drinking habits tracked over the past several decades? You know, if I can put it crudely, when were we at our drunkest as a nation?
Well, look, good question.
Can I ask that question?
Probably the 70s, and consumption started going up in the 60s, but it started declining in the 70s. So maybe unexpectedly, it started going down during the Whitlam and Kerr eras, not during the Bob Hawke era as Prime Minister. And since then, a few ups and downs. For example, it went up again during the mid-2000s for a bit, and then declining. So it's gradually been going down. But of course, that masks a whole range of other trends, as in fact some of the people who spoke to you earlier said. It masks what we're drinking, this big switch from beer to wine. Mm. It masks things like the aging population, because older people inevitably drink less. What it masks too is that the harms of alcohol are still massive. We're still up in the Alps, not at Kosciuszko. It masks that we're still one of the higher drinking OECD countries, a really important issue. So whole range of, it even masks where we're drinking, because we buy our alcohol now primarily from bottle shops, not from hotels. So a whole lot of fascinating trends. But crucially, one of the things that concerns me that it masks is that we're seeing, particularly in kids, a sort of two-tier trend, which is more people being sensible, but those who drinking more harmfully.
So you're not necessarily optimistic about this figure of Australian alcohol consumption at a 50-year low?
Look, I think you have to be encouraged by positive trends. And I need to make it clear, Natasha, that the aim of people in health isn't that nobody drinks. It's not to get rid of alcohol. It's to have sensible people drinking sensibly, and young people in particular being sensible or not drinking. But I think there are some encouraging trends, and we need to pursue those. And also, I think we need to say, look, some of the publicity, the education, the public health campaigns, as again one of your interviewees said, I think those are starting to have some impact.
Mm, that's interesting. So let's break it down further in terms of these latest ABS stats. Is there any given group of people that are drinking significantly less?
Well, as in an aging population, and we are an aging population, older people inevitably do drink less. I think the bulk of the concern has to be about young people up to the age of about 30. That's where the bulk of the drinking goes on. And the bulk of the concern has to be about those who drink harmfully. And that's those, and particularly, as I said, younger people, those who drinking more harmfully. But let's not forget that even people who regularly don't drink harmfully, you know, even amongst those, if they have a few too many, if they drink and then get into their cars and drive, then they're lethal, even if they're not regular drinkers.
Yes, but these stats do suggest, and let's come then to that two-tier trend that you alluded to in young people. At least a subset of young people are drinking significantly less, it would seem.
Yep, and I think that's really very encouraging indeed. More young people being sensible about alcohol use. And interestingly,
is it being sensible, I think, or is it shifting priorities? I'm just wondering what's at the heart of that trend.
A range of issues, Natasha. And I think we need to look at what's happening in other areas too. You know, we've seen a dramatic decline in young people smoking. We're seeing some, actually, despite some of the media around specific drugs, we're seeing some encouraging trends among some forms of drug use. So I think we may be seeing generations that are responding to the public education, responding to the media. And of course, and again, one of your interviews alluded to this, there may be other things to do. They don't go to the pub so much. They may be on their screens, using social media. So some fascinating trends that are still to be unpacked. But really important, I think, to be positive, particularly about the young people who are, a lot of them, I think, by design, trying to do the right thing.
Mm. Let's take a couple of calls in the mix. Catherine in Sydney, good morning to you.
Hi.
This is very personal for you.
It is. Look, I'm an alcoholic. Had a couple of wines already this morning. I think the thing that worries me is that, you know, you can buy alcohol from 8 o'clock in the morning. You can get 4 litres of wine for under $9 at certain retail shops. And, you know, I've been through detox and rehab a couple of times. Mm. And, you know, I've been through the methadone program, haven't touched any hard drugs for about 25 years, but alcohol's hard because it's legally available.
It's so available. Yep.
And I don't go out. I don't go out to pubs. I stay at home and drink. And it's something for me. I'm classed as a top-up drunk. So, you know, I've never been in trouble with the law, but I have to have something on a constant basis. But alcohol's so easily available. And, you know, I was even surprised myself when I found that, you know, things like, you know, the big retail where they've got their own alcohol supplies there, you know, from 8 o'clock in the morning you can buy it.
Catherine, thank you, and I hope you get some support if you need it. Thank you.
I'm fine, don't worry, thank you.
I do worry, you see.
I'm all right. Thank you, guys. I love Radio National, so thank you.
And
bye.
We really love getting your call this morning, because Mike Daube, where people are buying alcohol is reflected in these stats.
Absolutely. And look, thanks very much to Catherine for that call. Really important issue she raises. Alcohol is incredibly accessible, and particularly now that we're seeing the march of the bottle shops, and those are essentially controlled by the big chains, Woolworths and Coles West Farmers. Alcohol is incredibly accessible, and a particular concern too, it's accessible to children and young people. A recent paper in one of the major journals showed that about at least half of young people say they find it easy to buy alcohol underage. So we've got problems of access, we've got problems of massive promotion of alcohol, because the drinks industry isn't taking this lying down. You know, they want people to drink as much as possible, and you see huge promotion for beer and other products. So we've got all of these issues at play. And as Catherine pointed out, we have the problem of price. There's a thing called the wine equalization tax, which in some ways is wonderfully complex, but in other ways is incredibly simple, that wine can be sold dirt cheap. Cask wine, you can get it at $2 a litre, and that's something that I hope the Treasurer changes in the coming budget, because it's just a nonsense that we should allow alcohol to be sold so dirt cheap. It's an invitation to young people, disadvantaged people, to drink to get drunk.
Has that changed? Has the cost of alcohol significantly changed?
Well, I think, you know, one of the
You could always get cheap plonk.
You could always get cheap plonk, but the wine equalisation tax makes it incredibly cheap, particularly in relation to other products. So our current alcohol tax system was described by the Henry Review as incoherent, and it sure is. It's a real dog's breakfast. We need a sensible alcohol tax system. What we also need, incidentally, is the government to put some of the billions it gets from alcohol revenue back into trying to do something about those problems. And incidentally, Natasha, I think one thing that sort of we need to think about too, underpinning this issue of alcohol trends, is that the last few years have been pretty tough for our economy, and inevitably people will be drinking a bit less when times are hard.
Okay, Mike Daube is with us this morning. Professor Mike Daube, he is Professor of Health Policy at Curtin University, Director of the Public Health Advocacy Institute and the McCusker Centre for Action on Alcohol and Youth. And we're talking about our changing relationship to alcohol off the back of some Australian Bureau of Statistics stats suggesting alcohol consumption in Australia is at a 50-year low. But as Mike suggested, that masks all sorts of interesting shifts and trends that are occurring in terms of our relationship to alcohol. And we're taking your calls too, 1300 22 55 76. That's 1300 call RN. Michael in Melbourne, good morning to you. You'd like to ask about what we're drinking.
Right. Well, I was actually wondering about whether those statistics you guys are using factor in home brewing, because I actually make my own beer. I make about 20 liters a month using recycled bottles, and I share it with my friends. And I actually know quite a few people who are making their own beer now because the price is so high at the bottle shops. So I was just curious about that.
Yeah, I'll come back to Mike Daube on that. Mike, are these only just what's sold over the counter, these stats?
This is just what's sold over the counter.
Can't really track homebrew, can you?
Yeah, sorry, or to be more precise, information that's available to the government and so on. So it doesn't cover that. And you know, there is a perception that for various reasons the ABS figures are a bit of an underestimate, but the trends will probably be pretty right.
Okay, thanks very much, Mike.
Thank you.
For the call. And we've got Barbara, I think, in Sydney. Good morning to you.
Morning, Natasha. Love your show,
Thank
as
you.
Usual.
Thank you.
I just want to say, remember when we watched films or television series, people smoke cigarettes? That's all gone. Now I've noticed people are drinking wine. It's just an observation.
Yes.
In especially in television series, but also film. So if children see that, or young people, you know, it's just a thought.
Thank you so much. Right. Mike, yep. This is an issue, isn't it? Because you're suggesting that public health campaigns around drinking have cut through with young people. I'd be interested to understand the evidence for that or whether other things are affecting why young people's drinking habits are shifting and, in fact, reducing. But you know, they get messages from so many other directions.
Well, that's right. And, of course, there are a range of issues for any trends in this area. But our last caller was spot on. You know, there's heaps of evidence now from the tobacco area that the tobacco companies used to pay huge sums of money for what's called product placement in films. And who knows if the same kind of thing is going on with alcohol products. At least we do know that kind of thing does go on. And of course, young people are being exposed to just enormous levels of alcohol promotion particularly through things like sports sponsorship, but also through social media. And again, there's an onus, I think, on governments, and particularly the federal government, to reduce the level of alcohol promotion to which kids are exposed. Anybody who watches, it can be AFL, it can be rugby league, where state of origin is just one beer brand against another beer brand. The alcohol companies are massively into use of social media, which is where young people, children and young people live and breathe. So I think this is an area that governments need to take action on. And on that one, I'm very pessimistic. It's a global drinks industry. It's enormously powerful. And I don't think that governments are going to do much about it.
Let's come to Greg in Brisbane, because you work as a retailer of alcohol, I'm assuming, Greg?
Correct.
So what's your position and your concern here on, I mean, what's been raised here is that alcohol is very easy to get, it's very cheap, and that is exacerbating the problem of problematic drinking.
Look, from my experience, what happens is that we are under tighter and tighter controls. It's the tightest control I've ever seen. And, you know, when I was young, you know, before I turned 18, it was so easy for me to actually get into a bottle shop and get alcohol, far easier than somebody today. I check for people if they look 25, and some people look 30, and I still need to ask them for ID and check their ID, and we have very strict controls.
So what do you mean by very strict, the tightest controls of all? How is it tighter?
Well, I need to write down everybody. I need to write down the year of birth of everybody that comes through my register. So I need to say whether they were, what year they were born in.
Not every customer. Only those that you question in terms of their age.
Exactly. And then at the end of the day, I need to fill out a book. That liquor licensing can come and look at any stage for every register that I have that says that I have checked these IDs and that there are issues or no issues.
Okay.
And any issues then reported.
I'll thank you very much for the call, Greg, and I'll come back to Mike on that in just a minute. I'll take another call from Bruce in Gladstone. Good morning, Bruce. You'd like to make a point about the price of alcohol.
Yes, Natasha Wood. Firstly, I'd like to say I sympathise I feel for Catherine, your caller earlier. It nearly made me cry, actually, to hear her say that she's already had a couple of wines at this time of day. That was so tragic. And I've been in business with an alcoholic, so I know the ramifications of alcoholism. However, I don't think putting the price of alcohol up across the board is fair to the rest of us who are responsible drinkers. I mean, why should we pay the price for the minority who obviously can't handle their alcohol consumption? And sympathising also with your previous caller there about having to fill in a register. I've had three liquor licences over the past 10 years, and the things you have to do to comply, because people are irresponsible, I don't think it's anything to do with the legislation. I don't think it's anything to do with alcohol itself. It obviously comes down to self-control. And the burden that the lack of self-control puts on the industry is enormous.
Look, thank you very much for the call, Bruce. Jack in Melbourne, you'd like to make a point too, just a brief one.
Oh, yeah, look, I lost control of my drinking. As I said, Bruce is all about self-control. Mm. I lost control of my drinking about 15 years ago. I'd been, you know, often a heavy drinker, then I became a heavy daily drinker. And my life was just going, you know, down the toilet. It was just terrible. I couldn't go a day without a drink. When I wasn't having a drink, if I tried to go a day without a drink, I'd just obsess about having a drink. And what I did was I got myself down to an AA meeting. And AA is just magic. The only requirement for membership there is the desire to stop drinking. And all you've got to do, if you want to stop drinking, if you're sick of your drinking, is to go to meetings and do what they suggest. And people think it's for, you know, old and down and outs and so on. The place is just full of vibrant young people who I think seem to have a problem earlier and earlier because they use drugs with it as well. I don't know. But the rooms are full of, you know, really fun people in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, and we just mix in nicely. The rooms are full. We have activities afterwards. It takes about 12 months to get used to having fun without a drink, but it is just open there for everyone. And all you got to do if you're sick of your drinking is to ring up the AA number in your capital city or look up the website, get to a meeting, and your life can begin all over. It's a much better life than those of those who, like me, were a slave to the stuff. And when you lose self-control, you don't get it back.
Jack, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate that one. Jack, singing the praises of AA and the impact it's had on his life. Mark Daube, finally back to you. The Alcohol Liquor Stores Association has said that the figures that have been released show that Australians are choosing quality over quantity, that we're, quote, drinking to success, not to excess. They've also said the stats, quote, demonstrate how misleading the temperance and anti-alcohol advocacy industry are when they continue to claim that there is an alcohol epidemic.
Okay, let's take three quick things. First, the
just
callers,
briefly, if we can.
Yeah, briefly. Of course, there are some retailers who are responsible about selling alcohol, particularly to kids, but a lot of them aren't, and governments need to act on that. Second, I don't know who the Liquor Stores Association are talking about when they talk about temperance and so on. Mm. That's just nonsense. The concern is to reduce the harms caused by alcohol. We are still a heavy drinking country by world standards, so let's be positive about some of the positive trends, but let's also recognise that we've still got a mountain to climb. There are still massive harms out there. They're still being seen in our emergency departments. We've still got kids starting to drink at early ages, and those are the areas where we need action through price, and raising the price of dirt cheap wine doesn't harm the normal drinker. We need action on price and tax. We need curbs on alcohol promotion. We need proper controls on access. And as you saw in New South Wales, when you have that with the lockouts, for example, you get reductions in harms, and we need strong public education. So we know what to do so we can have a sensible community of sensible people, those who want to drink, drinking sensibly, and we still have all those huge harms in our community caused by alcohol. Let's not declare success when it doesn't exist.
A very strong statement from you, Mike Daube, and thank you. We might get you back on to talk about what they do in New Zealand in terms of minors accessing alcohol in liquor stores, which I thought was very interesting, but we haven't
indeed.
got time to get to it. We've got a lot to learn from them.
Indeed.
Yeah, so let's follow up on that again. I think that was an interesting story to tell. Professor Mike Daube, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Professor of Health Policy at Curtin University and Director of the Public Health Advocacy Institute. And you can continue this conversation on our website or our Facebook page or indeed on Twitter at RN Life Matters or our listener feedback line, particularly if you're in WA, Northern Territory, South Australia. We'd love to hear from you. 02 833 1430. That's 02 833 1430. Well, it's budget week, federal budget. It's about to land. We're going to analyse it closely on Wednesday. But ahead of that, we want to talk about the slated childcare payment changes. That's coming up.